The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend John Couch. John's engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass. Boy, we've got a very busy hour, but that's pretty much the case every day on the Buckmaster Show. Here we are, Tuesday, the 26th of November, 2019, broadcasting from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, listening to 1030 Tucson's Voice for Trusted News Talk. Have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. It's getaway day for lots of people today and tomorrow. I'll be among those heading out for Thanksgiving. Boy, I'll tell you, the weather is going to be a situation to deal with, but we won't worry about that right now. We want to welcome James Beard Foundation top chef, a guy that really has kind of been at the foundation of the Tucson resurgence of the Tucson restaurant scene, certainly since the 80s. Janos Wilder, the president of the City of Gastronomy Program Board of Directors. He's the chef and owner of Downtown Kitchen and Cocktails. Also in his portfolio is Carriage House, the cooking show, school and event center. Janos, always a pleasure, my friend.
Bill, how great it is to be with you. I love talking to you. This is always so fun.
I'm doing my informal poll. Is Thanksgiving your favorite holiday?
Yes, absolutely.
Get this from everybody. I've been asking people for a week now, and they all say Thanksgiving. Your reasons are?
So it's kind of easy. Great friends, family, great food, and the spirit of gratitude. What could be better than that?
Putting together a big Thanksgiving, I know you're going to have 20 people over. Any quick tip on how to have a very succulent bird?
Yes, don't overcook it. Take your time. Don't overcooking. I don't actually ever brine my birds.
So don't.
A lot of people say brine your bird.
Yeah, Brian.
You know that's sort of a safety measure, but you don't need to roast it. Start hot. Roast slow. Finish a little higher if you need to brown the skin, but roast fairly slowly. Stay nice and moist.
3 years since Tucson became the first United Nations City of Gastronomy, the first city in the United States. This is really has put Tucson on the map in many ways. Just the publicity alone, when you think about this, over that three-year period, if you had to buy the publicity to promote this, it would cost you over $30 million. That's basically, we get that free because of our designation.
Yeah, it's really something to think about. So the Visit Tucson charts this sort of thing and has the metrics for this. Yes, over $30 million in unpaid what would be considered advertising.
Right.
But this isn't advertising. It's better than advertising. These are articles that have appeared around the country and around the globe about Tucson and about what it means to be a city of gastronomy, what it means for Tucson to be a city of gastronomy, what is unique about Tucson. So that becomes travel pieces, it becomes food pieces, it talks about the history of Tucson. It's really something very special and drives tourism here. Tourism, the best piece of the economy that we could possibly have.
Are we sending out City of Gastronomy ambassadors around the world?
So we're in the importing and exporting business, Bill. We have sent chef ambassadors around the world to 8 different countries and around the world in the last 3 years. Sunday, China, Macau, China, mm-hmm. Denia, Spain, Parma, Italy, Gaziantep, Turkey, Stavanger, Norway, Belém, Brazil. I think I'm pretty much got them all.
Unbelievable.
And these are local chefs.
Local chefs who go and show what we do here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we actually do the training for them at the Carriage House. We do media training, so it's great training. We don't need to teach these men and women how to cook. They know how to cook, but how to be ambassadors to Tucson, how to tell the story of our food heritage, our flavors, and what it is to be in Tucson. These are, you know, when you're in China, they don't know anything about Tucson,
sure,
but they learn a little bit when we're there.
How can our local restaurant owners get involved with this city of gastronomy, and perhaps be certified so that they would get some kind of a seal of approval that their particular establishment is part of this?
Well, so what we really want to do is find ways to connect local restaurants to the rest of the local food system, so get them using local ingredients, get them really plain and with the local flavors. We want to promote these restaurants to residents and to visitors, and we want to increase exposure and sales. So it's very, really economic underpinning to this, and build a better connected local food economy that's stronger, equitable, and sustainable. So the way that we've chosen to do this is to create a certification program for restaurants. We've just opened it up and have been inviting restaurants to put in applications to become certified as a Tucson City of Gastronomy restaurant.
They fill out an application, right?
Online, go to our website at the Tucson City of Gastronomy, mm-hmm. and get the application. And the application, it's a really interesting application because we've created a matrix of a lot of different things. Because to be a City of Tucson designated City of Tucson restaurant means several different things. It means using local products, means working towards sustainability. It means hiring people and paying them at above a minimum wage. All of these are different ways you get a matrix of points that then makes you eligible for the certification. So it's really aspirational in many ways as well. We talk a lot about sustainability, using compostable to-go containers, composting your leftover food, all of these things that are good for sustainability, good for the environment, and really good for Tucson.
The application process is open through December the 16th. Restaurants that are awarded the Tucson City of Gastronomy certification, that will be announced in early 2020. And I guess, Janos Wilder, each award will last for a year, and then they can be recertified. Is that the way to work?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Last for a year, the first cohort, I imagine, will have about 20 restaurants in it, maybe a little bit more. That'll last for a year. They can all reapply. And I think that the benefits that those restaurants are going to have is going to spill over, and we're going to see even more the second year. We have a partnership with Visit Tucson to promote those restaurants, both inside Arizona and the United States, but also elsewhere around the world. So they'll be promoting the Tucson City of Gastronomy restaurants. That's a great benefit to all of the restaurants who are going to be certified.
City of Gastronomy, we were the first. San Antonio is the second United States city with this designation. So it's still rarefied air to be up there, isn't it?
Absolutely. There's only 36.
Worldwide,
36 cities. 10 of those were just received the designation this year. So it's a really small club to be in. It's a club of, in many ways, the best of the best. But it's not, you think about Tucson City of Gastronomy, what does that mean? And it's not just we have great restaurants, though we do have great restaurants, but it's all of the cities of gastronomy have a really unique gastronomical story to tell. Ours is over 4,000 years of agricultural history on the banks of the Santa Cruz River. We are the most biodiverse region in North America. Our food tells a unique story and has unique flavors. Gastronomy is the nexus of food and culture. So at that point, at that intersection, we tell a very, very unique story that no one else in the world can tell. And when you eat the flavors of Tucson, when you have the foods from this region, you know where you are.
You were originally one of the foundations of downtown. I remember when I moved back here in 1988, of course, everybody had to go to Janos downtown. I mean, it was what was happening. Downtown was struggling. You moved to the foothills, then you got kind of back on the vanguard of this thing downtown by moving back. How has it changed since the move?
It's really hard to think about.
And what is that time period? When would that have been?
So we've opened our first restaurant in 1983 downtown.
Right. Give me the chronology.
And then moved to the West in La Paloma
right.
in 1998.
Right.
In 2010, we moved back downtown. We were still open at the Westin, but moved back downtown and opened Downtown Kitchen and Cocktails in 2010. And a little over 3 years ago, we opened the Carriage House. Since we opened in 2010, at that point when we opened, there were five or six restaurants downtown, maybe a couple of other fast food places, but really, really in a tiny, tiny restaurant core downtown and a lot of dive bars.
And now look
at it. And now downtown has almost 100 restaurants and bars, great nightlife, fantastic entertainment. It's still the home of the opera and the theater and the symphony and now the Coyotes and also the Tucson Skulls. So downtown is really the center of social activity and dining and also beginning to become a residential center in Tucson as well. It has really been transformed.
All right, Janos Wilder, have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Bill, you do the same. Great to be on.
Thank you very much. Still time to put in your order up at Mona's Danish Bakery. They're doing the pies. They've got the dinner rolls, the pies. We brought one in yesterday. My goodness, Janos. We brought in one of Mona's pumpkin pies. Chief owner and baker Steve wanted my guests to sample it. It's a good thing I cut a few pieces, Janos, for my guests because it was devoured here at the station.
Well, did you save any for me?
Well, it was gone in 10 minutes.
Oh, my goodness. I picked a good day, but maybe it was the wrong day in some ways.
Yeah, there you go. So still time to put in that order up to Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. Of course, Mona's is home of the Danish Kringle. You can do the Kringle in the traditional custard, cherry, strawberry, blueberry, lemon, apricot, or pecan. Which will it be for you, Janos? Custard, cherry, strawberry, blueberry, lemon, apricot, or pecan?
Cherry.
Cherry. And what about the pie order? Pumpkin, apple, blueberry, cherry, and pecan.
Pecan.
There you go. All right. Make your order at 579-1959 Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. We'll be right back with Shelley Fishman. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
Take 5 minutes to give us your input on regional transportation matters. The Regional Transportation Authority's 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee prepared draft guiding principles to consider as they prepare to develop the next RTA plan. The survey is available between mid-November and mid-December. To take the survey or to sign up to receive RTA notices, please visit www.rtamobility.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Ever dream of taking a river cruise? Bon Voyage Travel introduces you to Ama Waterways. You'll explore authentic culture and captivating landscapes in luxury and comfort. All on board an award-winning fleet while you travel through incredible cities and villages in Europe, Southeast Asia, and Africa. Picture yourself on the river, indulging in Ama Waterways' locally inspired cuisine paired with complimentary wine with every lunch and dinner. Contact Bon Voyage Travel today to customize your river cruise vacation.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
And now let's welcome Shelley Fishman, our financial consultant and commentator, who is, like so many people, out of town, already starting the Thanksgiving week. And Shelley, how are you, sir?
I'm well today, Bill, in San Diego, enjoying really nice weather, but it's going to rain tomorrow.
I know. California is going to be crazy. I'll be heading up to the Bay Area tomorrow morning. But right now, you've got good weather, right?
It's beautiful. It's, you know, it's San Diego. It's paradise.
Right? There you go. I see that Pete Buttigieg, who is leading in the Iowa polling, has been talking about something you've been talking about here on the program for really at least a year. You've been talking about kind of the three basic problems in our economy, which you have designated and others agree with you: the costs of health care, one; two, global warming; and income equality.
Yeah, those are the three most immediate threats to our economy. And those threats are not just for the U.S. economy. To a very great extent, they're to the world economy. But the cost of health care especially is something that we own here in the United States and is really close to twice as high as it is in other industrialized countries. So that's something that really needs to be addressed. What Mayor Pete has done, and by the way, I saw a poll this morning. He's not only leading in Iowa, he's leading in New Hampshire.
Really?
Really kind of interesting, well-organized campaign. We'll see where it goes. But what he did over the weekend was he released a plan that's fairly detailed and that talks to the costs of Social Security and making the Social Security system more solvent into the middle of the century. But what he did there is he included long-term care costs as a special Social Security benefit. The other two pieces of the plan were to propose an improved 401k plan that would be a requirement for employers. And then he also dealt with Medicare Advantage plans as part of his approach to getting to universal service or universal health care without doing something like Medicare for All. So it's a very comprehensive plan. It's well researched, and it's really designed to start a discussion. I mean, there are details in the plan that I would certainly argue about, but it's clearly designed to get the discussion going in a more centrist way than, say, Warren and Bernie Sanders' more, you know, leftist approach to Medicare for All.
He really has is trying to stake out the middle. I think Bloomberg has joined the race, season opening for the in the middle there. But I think Mayor Buttigieg really sees that middle as a great opportunity for him.
Yeah, you know, he's been a pleasant surprise to listen to since he kind of came on the national scene. He's a guy who is, you know, educated at Oxford. He was a Rhodes Scholar. I think he also has a degree from Harvard. His parents are both teachers, and he is also a veteran. So he combines so many things. But what I find so amazing is that he seems unflappable. No matter what question you ask him, he has a non-judgmental, well-thought-out answer. So there's a real mind working there. And now that he's coming forward with very specific plans, I think those plans will help really move the discussion in this country towards solutions to these problems forward.
Did you say something about an improved 401k plan?
Yeah, what he wants to do is, first of all, make the 401k model universal so that everybody would have an opportunity, everybody who's working would have an opportunity to have a 401k plan, and that 401k plan would be portable from job to job, and it would require employers to contribute. In addition, in order to make it really more practical for people to opt in, and this is important, it's not an opt-out plan, it's an opt-in plan. So you're not automatically enrolled. You get the choice whether you want to enroll or not. You have to opt in. But a part of the plan would be kind of a rainy day fund, so that we're today with a 401k, you can borrow from it if you need the money up to a certain amount of money, and then pay yourself back over, say, a five-year period. With Buttigieg's plan, what he's saying is that a part of your 401 savings or investments would be available to you to access if you have certain very specific needs, and you wouldn't have to pay yourself back. You could simply use those funds, and they would still not be taxable when you use them.
You have talked on the last couple of sessions with Shelley Fishman about Medicare and Medicare Advantage. What does the Buttigieg plan say about that?
Well, what Buttigieg does is he uses existing Medicare. He keeps existing Medicaid. But what he does with Medicare is, you know, we talk about some sort of way of supplementing Medicare, so Medicare for those who want it. What he does is he keeps today's Medicare Advantage plans, which are privately run by insurance companies, and makes them simply more affordable and more universally available to people. Because today, and I've seen different statistics on this, from 60% to 80% of people who are on Medicare do not choose the Medicare Advantage option. What this would do would say that if you want to select a Medicare Advantage plan, you can. Now, this does not address private insurance for people under 65. That's something that's separate, that would be separate in his plan. But what this does is it increases the availability of Medicare Advantage plans. So people who want to stay with private insurance rather than the Medicare government paid insurance, they'd have that option.
So he's talked about health care. What did he say about global warming?
Well, it's not in this plan. He's okay. Talked about global warming before, but it's not part of this plan. But one of the things he does that's really very interesting, we know that Social Security, for instance, is a plan that has problems with its solvency going into the 2030 timeframe. What he does is he proposes lifting the cap on the payroll deductions that are part of paying for Social Security. I think they cap today at about $132,000 in salary. And what he does is says, he'll leave that cap there, so you stop paying at that amount. But then over $500,000, you start paying again. And that and a couple of other kind of tweaks that he makes to the plan would buy about 15 or 16 years more into Social Security. Then what he does is he adds a benefit that Social Security does not have today, which is a long-term care option in Social Security that would say that if you don't have the ability to perform two out of the six activities of daily living, and those are all defined clearly in these long-term care plans, you could access a special Social Security benefit, which amounts to $90 per day. That would pay, here in Tucson, about half of the costs of being either a nursing home or assisted living facility, or in fact, having home care do that for you. So that would be, a big boost to people who today look at long-term care as something that would cause them to sell their homes and give up all their personal savings.
I don't know if he's talked about something you have talked about, and I agree with you on this, about service to our country in some form for young people. Has he talked about, I'm sure he'd probably be very open to it, because he's a man who has served quite a bit, served in the military and on and on. Go ahead. What do you think?
Yeah, he has discussed it very specifically. He talks about a plan whereby you could, when you graduate from high school, be part of a national service option where you would serve the country, not necessarily in the military, for 1 year. And during that 1 year, you would have lots of different options on where you could provide your service. But at the end of that time, you would then be qualified for what amount to the kinds of benefits that we look at in GI Bill of Rights, GI Bill benefits, so that it would help you pay for instance, college tuition or vocational training. And that would get to one of the problems we have in this country right now is that we have plenty of jobs open and nobody who's qualified to fill them.
All right, Shelley, have a very safe and a very wonderful Thanksgiving. And people can find out more about you at buckmastershow.com. Shelley Fishman, thank you, sir.
Happy Thanksgiving, Bill. Thank you.
Thanks
too.
A lot.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We're in the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio. I can't believe how many poinsettias that Jan and Jack, the owners of Green Things, have grown over the past year. Can you believe it? 25,000 in every imaginable color and filling the greenhouses over there at 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. And if you're out and about over the holidays and you see places decorated with poinsettias, chances are darn good they came from Green Things. I mean, they've huge selection. 13-acre site, home to not only all the beautiful green things, but Zocalo and Zocalo Village, all that wonderful merchandise. Some of it's beautifully hand-carved from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. ZocaloVillage.com and GreenThingsAZ.com. All right, Father Robert Hendrickson joining us now. We're honored to have Father Robert with us. He is our Buckmaster Show contributor on faith and spirituality. I'm just so, I can't thank, this is a great time for me to say how thankful I am, not only for Father Robert, but 24 contributors to the Buckmaster Show. All of their bios are prominently displayed at buckmastershow.com. These are very accomplished people. Father Robert is the rector at St. Philip's in the Hills Episcopal Church, which is my spiritual home. Father Robert, how are you, sir?
I am good. Thanks for having me, and happy almost Thanksgiving.
Well, happy Thanksgiving to you. And we had Janos Wilder at the beginning of the program today, the famous Tucson chef, and I asked Janos, what your favorite holiday? Thanksgiving. And I've been asking lots of guests over the past week, and Thanksgiving keeps coming up as the top holiday. Not surprising, because, you know, Christmas, so much emphasis on gift giving. Thanksgiving's about a gift of bringing yourself and what you offer, your spirit, to the holiday gathering.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's always a little sad to me that particularly sort of Christmas and Easter have gotten caught up in the kind of commercialism, because, and I think that's what attracts people to Thanksgiving, is it really does bring us back to some of the things that we should appreciate most in our lives. And I think one of the reasons the holidays get so complicated is that we've come to regard as special time with family and time to be together and time to appreciate one another, and we've come to regard as commonplace sort of working ourselves to death. And so our priorities are so off as a country that I think this one moment when we all pause and sort of give thanks is one that we all sort of relish and have a kind of deep affection for, and it kind of, I think, draws us to simpler points in our life where we were thankful for the people and things we had in a way that we forget to most of the rest of the year.
And many times we're gathering with friends who we haven't seen in a long time. Yes, Father Robert, that does create a certain amount of stress.
Oh, sure. Well, and I think the best way, if you want to be a welcome guest at your Thanksgiving table, just say, how's the impeachment going, and see what happens.
Oh, boy. We talked about that yesterday on our political face-off about whether or not to engage or not to engage political talk, and I'm of the latter on that one.
I tend to be, too. I mean, that's, you know, we see folks who we don't see for large parts of our, you know, year, and sometimes we catch up with people we haven't seen for years. And what I always come away with when I have those times is, for example, we often have Thanksgiving with cousins who I see maybe once every year or two if I'm lucky. And there's just that moment where you ask yourself at the end of it, well, why don't we do that more often? And I think if we asked ourselves, why don't we do that more often, then we would not be so afraid of doing it more often, if that makes sense.
Sure. Many people are alone this Thanksgiving as well.
Well, and you know, at our church we have a Thanksgiving Day celebration where we have a Eucharist, and after that we have a lunch. There's always 150 to 180 people there, many of whom that is their family to get together with. And I think we know right now that in our culture, writ large, loneliness is an epidemic, literally an epidemic. And so I think finding those ways to reach out to folks who may be alone on Thanksgiving is really important, and one of those very simple ways of being human that we can always use more of.
Are you crafting your message yet for Thanksgiving service?
Yes. I'm always sort of working well ahead and then well behind at the same time in an interesting way. I'm like FedEx. I'm in a just-in-time delivery process until it fails.
Yeah.
It's oftentimes I go into these and I try and figure out what is the thing that I most need to hear at this moment. And I find that often resonates with folks, because I think we all share this kind of cultural space and emotional space together in this world. And I think all of us need to hear the same things oftentimes at the same time. So that's what goes into my thinking as we go into sermon preparation for something like this.
Let's talk a little bit about the art of gratitude. The art of gratitude, I believe, Father Robert, begins every day, every morning.
Yes. And, in the Christian tradition, there are basically two kinds of prayer. There's thank you and I'm sorry. And I think that people fail at both of those way too often at saying both of those things. And so, but I think if we can recover that just basic discipline of in the morning or in the evening, counting those things for which we are grateful and acknowledging those things where we've fallen short, I think we would all have a kind of a smoother baseline and sort of have less peaks and valleys in our kind of emotional and spiritual and relationships. And I think what we've seen now is that there is medical evidence that gratitude not only has sort of spiritual benefits, but has measurable health benefits too. I mean, we see there was a study done, I think it was in Harvard Medical Journal not too long ago, about where they took 400 people and had a third of them roughly wrote things they were grateful for every day. Another third of them roughly wrote things about which they were annoyed every day. And then another third just noted things that they were both happy about or indifferent about or mad about. And what they found is in the group, the third that expressed gratitude, they found measurable health benefits in terms of their heart health, in terms of sort of chronic conditions like arthritis. All these sort of things that we sort of think of as we sometimes knock the kind of connection between our spirit and our body.
Right.
But being grateful is one of the sort of core human needs, I think, for us and for the people around us. And I think what the way our bodies respond to stress, if we can be grateful, that decreases the stress. But it is, as you say, an art. And in my own tradition, I sort of call it a discipline. These things require discipline, where we hold ourselves accountable for being grateful, because when we don't, that's when I think we begin to fall short in so many other ways.
So did I hear you right about in the Christian tradition about the prayers are basically, I don't know if they're split evenly, but certainly gratitude on one side and then being sorry or whatever that, repentance.
Yeah. Just call it sin, Bill. It's fine.
Okay. So there you go. I mean, but in the Christian tradition, what I'm hearing from you is that gratitude is a pillar of the
Absolutely.
Christian tradition.
I think those are the two pillars that really hold up the whole tradition. And if you go to a church that practices Eucharist regularly, communion regularly, what you'll find is the central act of worship is called the Great Thanksgiving.
Right.
And the entire prayer is situated around thanking God for all the blessings of our lives. And I think what happens both with repentance and with Thanksgiving is they always remind you that there is a world outside of you to which you are accountable, both to say thank you to and to which you have certain responsibilities. And I think right now our national culture is so caught up in this kind of right and this kind of, I have a right to this, and we're losing track that we have responsibilities. And I think gratitude and repentance point us toward those responsibilities, calling us to a sort of fuller way of being human.
Well, I want to thank you
for your
support
you.
On this program. Certainly gratitude to you. And I really want to emphasize to our listeners, if you are alone or perhaps you don't want to do Thanksgiving, make a big deal with cooking or whatever, I want to invite all of our listeners to come up to St. Philip's in the Hills. What's the time frame on Thanksgiving? And I know... I'm extending this invitation, and you are will certainly go amen to that.
Amen. And 11 o'clock is the Eucharist, and mm-hmm. then around 12 o'clock, depending on how long I preach for, will be food afterward.
And I'm telling you, the food is amazing.
It's great. It is incredible. It's a bunch of folks who love to cook for one another and love to eat together, and it's a great time.
All right. Father Robert Hendrickson, from St. Philip's in the Hills, the Buckmaster Show contributor on faith and spirituality. Happy Thanksgiving to you, sir.
Happy Thanksgiving. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Coming up next, Anthony Jimeno. Speaking of contributors, he's our Wildcat football and sports contributor. What in the world is the U of A going to have to do to win up in the Territorial Cup coming up on Saturday? AJ is next on the Buckmaster Show.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
A Citizens Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is preparing to develop the next RTA plan. That's why members want your input on a survey of draft guiding principles they prepared. The principles will help guide them as they develop the next 20-year plan, which would be funded by a voter-required extension of the RTA's half-cent excise or sales tax. To take the survey or sign up to receive RTA notices, please visit www.rtamobility.com.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Mo has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Mo for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
At Sierra Tucson, we see miracles of healing every day. We are honored to be an international premier treatment center right here in Southern Arizona. Our comprehensive evidence-based programs focus on addiction recovery, mood and anxiety disorders, trauma recovery, including PTSD, pain recovery, and co-occurring disorders. Learn more at sierratucson.com or call us at 800-842-4487. We work with most insurance payers.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Just a 3-hour drive from Tucson, and if you've got some time off over this holiday week, might be a good time to take a little road trip over to Silver City. You can find out all about Silver City and what it has to offer. Lots of great restaurants, great places to stay, so many activities to do in that area. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for all sorts of great information about Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio, and we welcome another of our contributors to the program. Anthony Jimeno is our contributor on Wildcat Sports. Anthony is the co-founder of a local blog that's doing very well called AllSportsTucson.com. He's covered for really over 20 years, covered and written about University of Arizona athletics. He is the senior editor of Lindy's Football Annuals. Anthony, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good. Happy holidays, Bill.
Yeah, happy holidays, happy Thanksgiving, and then after the big turkey day, it'd be time to turn our attention to what the Wildcats really have left to play for, and that would be the ASU game up in Tempe. This is a troubled program, and I was listening to Greg Hansen on our sports program last night with Mr. Rivera, and it went like Greg saying he's covered 35 years of sports and Wildcat football, and he's never seen anything quite like what's happening with Wildcat football. Where would you weigh in on that?
Well, fortunately, personally for me, I missed most of the John Makovic era. I was in my a little sabbatical in Tacoma, Washington for another job for a few years, and then came back at the very end of that. So I missed all of that, but in terms of actual firsthand knowledge. But I mean, that was a disaster. I mean, that's public, players marching to the president's office to protest a coach and all that. That's pretty historic in itself. But over the last couple weeks, at least, that is a question I've heard a lot. And the question being, is this as bad as the John Makovic era? And if the answer's not yes, the answer is it's really close. There's just a lack of optimism, whether it's, for the off season, for the next couple years, as it relates to the head coach, and then just bad play. Bad attendance. I mean, they announced, 35,000 or so last Saturday against Utah. But, I mean, let's be honest, that was more like 25,000 in the stadium. And I just don't know. I don't see an easy path to fixing that in one off season with Kevin Sumlin.
Well, on Steve Rivera's Eye on the Ball show, which airs here from 6 to 7, Monday through Friday, Greg Hansen said something that kind of jumped out at me, that he felt that the U of A could basically cut Kevin or could cut Sumlin loose. And he wouldn't, they could pay him $10 million. And he said Sumlin probably wouldn't mind that Sumlin has just not been engaged with this, at least it appears that way, engaged with our community.
True. I don't argue with that. He hasn't connected. And whether that's a factor of how the team has looked on the field or the record or personality, all those things together, he just hasn't. He's a hard guy. I can't speak for fans, but I've been saying for pretty much all season, if I were a fan, I would find Kevin Sumlin a really hard guy to get behind. And we know that most Arizona football fans in Tucson are kind of on the fence anyways. They kind of come and go depending on how the team is doing and which way the wind is blowing and if the sun is shining. And to have a guy who doesn't connect is just makes it that much harder, which again is one of the reasons why I don't see Kevin Sumlin as the answer in Tucson. It's often about, he's certainly done some good things in his career. I'm not saying he's a bad coach by any means, but coaching is always about time and place. And, what works for one coach at a certain place at a certain time doesn't mean it's going to work somewhere else. And I think that's kind of what we're at. It just may not have been a good fit. And so Dave Hickey has to decide, I can't afford to keep him. I can't afford to get rid of him. So he has to choose the lesser of two bad options. And
It's a 5-year deal. He's 2 years into a 5-year deal. It's a $10 million buyout. But the U of A has to look at this. What's it costing them if they keep Sumlin? How are you going to promote this team next year? How are you going to, when you're only you're filling up half the stadium, how is it going to get any better? And what does it cost? I have no idea, but it could be millions of dollars if you keep the guy.
Sure, that's exactly what I'm saying. Can you afford to keep him?
Right.
Can you afford to fire him?
Yeah.
I mean, that's either way, it's not a happy decision. If Dave Hickey decides he needs to part ways, you know, plus there's the ego factor involved. He has to admit he made a $10 million mistake.
Yes.
That's not easy for athletic directors, because athletic directors are, by and large, defined by the company they keep, which means who they hire. Mm-hmm. And you only get so many swings at making a big time hire. So this would be 0-for-1, and that's, I'm sure Dave Hickey would like to avoid that, but he still has to do what's in the best interest of the program. And the other thing to consider financially is that Kevin Sumlin's first, based on the contract, he signed a 5-year deal. His first 2 years come in at $2 million per year base salary, which is really low, which is a really low standard across the country. Next year, that gets bumped up to $3.5 million for the final 3 years of his contract.
Really?
So Arizona, you know, you always look, okay, I'm going to get rid of the coach. Well, who do I get and how much do I have to pay?
Yeah.
Interesting to note, Arizona is already on the hook for $3.5 million next year, which puts them in a competitive, if that's their baseline, that puts them in a competitive situation with going out and hiring a new coach.
All right. We're quickly running out of time. And, of course, the game, ASU, I watched that Oregon game. They looked really good. How do you see this game boiling down?
Not great for Arizona.
No.
I mean, we know. We've been here long enough. We've seen some unbelievable upsets that nobody saw coming.
Yeah.
But by and large, those Arizona teams were pretty good.
Yep.
You know, you don't, you know, you look through the 9-0 unbeaten streak from the 80s into 1990. Those Arizona teams won 6 games, 7 games, 8 games in the season. You rarely find an Arizona team that's, you know, the record Arizona has now around 4-7. That pulls off an upset of ASU. So I just don't see it. I can't see it. ASU's feeling good. And when ASU's feeling good, they should not miss on an opportunity to stomp on its rival. And I think they've got a chance to do that.
You know, and getting back to Sumlin and the decisions that he's made, you know, he's jettisoned a couple of his coaches in the middle of the season or near the end of the season. But still, what do you do in the off season with this program? I mean, does Chuck Cecil have a future with the program? On and on the questions go, right?
Yeah, that's and I just talked about this with Steve Rivera last night. And what, you know, find one thing to be optimistic about for 2020.
Yeah.
And basically what we come up with is, hey, you know, Grant Kinnell, true freshman quarterback, looks pretty good.
Right.
Other than that, what do you have? Unless you make sweeping changes that can kind of kickstart the interest and the buzz and some optimism. But right now, Arizona is clearly, I mean, I can write this into Lindy's magazines right now,
right,
6 months ahead of time. Arizona's going to be picked last in the Pac-12 South.
Yep.
I mean, there's almost no way around that. So if Kevin Sumlin stays, he has to work the junior colleges and probably the transfer portal quite a bit and try to come up with some quick fixes. And
all right,
hope that buys him some time.
Anthony Jimeno, allsportstucson.com. Always a pleasure. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours, Anthony.
Thanks, Bill. You too.
Thanks a lot. AG with us on the Buckmaster Show. I'll be off tomorrow. Ben Bueller Garcia is going to make his debut with us hosting the Buckmaster Show. Then we have put together for Thanksgiving and Friday a couple of programs, some interviews we have only aired once that we feel are worth certainly a second listen. So check all of that out. I'll be back with you live on Monday. On behalf of my engineer, producer, and friend, John Couch. John, I hope you and yours have a happy Thanksgiving. And all of our great listeners, thanks for your support. Bill Buckmaster wishing you a good one. Thanks.